Welcome to Connection Point, GovConnection's podcast series focusing on strategies and trends in infrastructure, green IT, mobility, data management, and much more. This podcast is presented in partnership with Cisco. I am your host, James Hilliard, and today's podcast features a look at network security and firewalls. Jeremiah Redden is with me, a senior networking consulting engineer, over 12 years experience in telecom and IT services. Jeremiah, I really do appreciate the time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, James.
Let's just start big overview here. Top security challenges that you hear about from the IT pros that you're talking to these days.
Today, what we're basically hearing is a lot of administrators and even on up to the higher level execs is, you know, we're just finding a lot of issues with security breaches, different types of attacks, different types of threats coming into the network, gaining access, and basically compromising a lot of the systems that, you know, service for a lot of the different environments or customers or business units.
And I've heard similar conversations. I've been able to talk to a lot of IT pros and some webcasts recently. Data loss prevention, very kind of top of mind. We do an event like that. A lot of folks are coming out for those. What are you recommending when you're talking to these pros and they're talking about these are some of the issues and the challenges we have? What are a couple of the first things that you're saying to them that they should be evaluating and making sure they're doing to secure their network and all the information and data from unauthorized access?
Right, so the first thing you'll probably want to do is go ahead and take an overall general assessment or kind of overview, if you will, to look at your environment to see where things are and see where maybe a lot of the vulnerabilities or problems or you know, security flaws and holes that that could be involved in the network. The next thing you'll want to look at, you want to go through and just basically build out a strategy for mitigating those different types of attacks and deploying different security services throughout the network.
Do you find a lot of security folks don't feel that they have enough insight into their networks these days?
Yeah, that appears to be the case. We see a lot of engineers and administrators, they're really having a tough time getting their arms around all the different types of challenges that are thrown at them every day. And, you know, there's a lot of wasted man hours trying to track down attacks and those different types of threats, and to be able to really kind of recoup some of those man hours utilizing a lot of the security tools that are out there could definitely save, you know, not only the man hours, but also maybe those compromised systems in the end.
So Jeremiah, we know that there are a lot of challenges for IT pros out there. Are there one or two types of technologies that you're still saying, hey, these need to be a foundation of your network security?
Well, definitely the firewall you'll want to keep as the cornerstone for the network security blueprint. You know, it seems to me we're seeing also a lot on the, you know, the edge, the internet edge. So when we're looking at content services filtering, that seems to be another area we're wanting to put a lot of focus into, not just, you know, endpoints on our PCs with antivirus and so forth, but also on that internet edge with, you know, different types of various content filtering.
Absolutely, Jeremiah. And again, the more layers of protection you can have, the better. You mentioned that firewalls still should be a cornerstone of that foundation of security for our networks. Jeremiah and I actually had a chance to work on a recent hour-long webcast, and it was titled Firewalls Are Not Dead. You can go online and search for that if you're interested in listening. But really, that was what we were talking about, that firewalls still have a major role to play. A lot of changes are going on in firewall technology right now, and one of the big changes is happening over at Cisco. A lot of folks have been on the PIX firewalls. Cisco moving towards, migrating towards this new ASA firewall. So let's talk a little bit about why folks should want to consider moving from the old PIX to these ASAs.
Sure. So when we're looking at the PIX security appliance, we're basically, you're talking again, our IP layer filtering, and also layer four filtering, you know, where stateful packet inspection was always there. But when we're looking at the Cisco ASA product line that Cisco's moving to, now we're kind of expanding on the advanced technologies and really getting a good line of that defense into the network, you know, that added layers of security that you want to defend against. And, you know, whether it's you have remote access users connecting back to the office through VPN, we're protecting those users, maybe they're extranet or different business partners you have to probably connect to, and you know, those similar untrusted networks, you know, want to aggregate back into the firewall as well. We're basically seeing a lot of consolidation that we did not see on the PICs that we're seeing now on the ASAs.
What type of technologies are consolidating on those ASAs?
So basically we're seeing our IPS, IDS and IPS sensors. This is now much more consolidated in the sense where we don't need a designated hardware device just for our IPS and IDS sensors. We instead have a IPS, IDS module that serves for that defense in the network. We're also looking at anti-X services, whether it be malware, spyware, things like that, where we can also guard against, as opposed to, you know, again, having a separate appliance for mail filtering, HTTP, so forth, that we can guard against.
And as we've heard the term server sprawl, we've had kind of some network sprawl with a lot more of these appliances doing different functions. Some of the consolidation, I'm sure, is simplifying the networks for IT admins, and they're not going to be complaining about that. What I want to talk about a little bit more, and you brought it up a moment ago, was support for VPN in these Cisco ASAs. And that has got to probably be something that you've been hearing more and more about, people wanting to make sure those remote workers are supported and protected, because more and more of us are working outside of the corporate office, we're in the home office, we're on the road, we are a mobile workforce now.
Yeah, that's absolutely true, James. Basically, what we're seeing is a lot of the users that are connecting back to the corporate enterprise are coming from untrusted networks. We don't know basically what's on their side of the connection. So what we're wanting to do is be able to protect our corporate network from these remote accesses. We simply cannot just disallow services anymore. So we need a way to be able to finite that connection back and also kind of quarantine it, if you will, to where it's acceptable and meets, you know, a particular company's security policies.
And along with being secure and protecting the data, we obviously need access to that data. And again, because we're a mobile workforce, we're looking for that access at different times throughout the day, throughout the work week. High availability, it's something that we look for these days. The network IT admins, they have to provide that. Talk a little bit about Cisco ASA's, the high availability and those options, features within the firewall.
Right. So when we're talking about high availability for the Cisco ASA, it comes in a couple different form factions. We could have an active failover environment where we literally have two firewalls side by side. They're both passing traffic, and these are more seen for environments where maybe there's multiple ISPs or multiple internet connections, you know, distributed throughout the enterprise. The other solution is going to be kind of an active standby where we're seeing, again, the firewall is a mission-critical component of the network now, so we need to ensure that maximum uptime for the business. So, you know, either in an active or active standby, we need to ensure that reliability. But just to follow up on the active standby, you know, here we have a firewall situation. We have a pair of firewalls where maybe the primary goes down, that secondary can automatically kick in and keep track of all the session state table automatically, to where there's a seamless transition in the failure that's pretty much transparent to the end user.
Hey, Jeremiah, again, really do appreciate chatting about this with you.
Thanks again, James.
And as we wrap up here, if you in the audience, if you want any more information about security issues, firewalls, Cisco products, or any other IT services or offerings, you can contact your GovConnection account manager, and you can also go online. You probably know the website address. It's govconnection.com. I'm James Hilliard. Again, thanks for joining us.